May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Over this past weekend at our diocesan convention, I was reminded of my time in Jerusalem as we heard a presentation about the last pilgrimage taken there by some fellow clergy and lay people of our diocese. And one of the most popular stops in Israel is a fortress named Masada. It is high up on the Judean desert, overlooking the Dead Sea. And in the first century BC, Herod the Great built himself a palace there on a mesa, fortified its walls, made it nearly impenetrable. And yet, for all its fortification, its vast food storehouses, its complex aqueduct system, and ingenious engineering, the site itself is the location of a major defeat, the last stand of a host of Jewish rebels, finally fed up with Roman imperial rule during the First Jewish-Roman War, just after 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed. This temple is the same temple that Jesus speaks of in our gospel passage, torn down to the rubble, thrown down. Now, to some of the first people hearing the story after the disciples shared it widely, the little apocalypse of Mark, as scholars call it, is no mere idea. It is a living memory. They were familiar with what felt like the end of things. They lived through rumors of war and revolution and war itself. Now, the strange thing with this passage, my friends, the part that makes me pause for a second as I encounter it again as we wrap up this liturgical year, is that for Jesus, the end of things was not something to be dreaded, but something long awaited. It was the culmination of things, a time to set things right, to tear down the old as something new broke forth. This is the Jesus we're probably least comfortable with, the one who looks like a mad-eyed street preacher, hair disheveled, clothes unkempt, speaking of a world that is strange and terrifying to behold. Of course, it may be hard to imagine what it's like to look forward to the apocalypse. And yet the people to whom Jesus spoke, a people beaten down by empire after empire, eking out an existence under the hot desert sun, those who were sick, outcast, and despised, those whose experience of the world was one of permanent hardship, these people understood what it was like to look forward, to hope in the apocalypse. People who have much to lose do not hope for revolution. Those who have nothing to lose can hope for little else. It may be that the experience feels foreign to you, but I bet there have been times in your life when you've at least come close, when the hardships seem to stack up one on top of another, when you've felt yourself running on fumes, unable to handle one more thing, when you've been unable to fall asleep, thinking of mounting bills or the loss of a loved one, or like Hannah in our Old Testament reading, grief over a world that could be, but simply isn't. And it is in the thick of these circumstances that Jesus predicts a future in which things will be made right. And by doing so, he acknowledges that there is something terribly wrong. Jesus points and promises to a world transformed, renewed, reborn, a world in which, in the words of Hannah and Mary and all those who have hoped for something better or something more, a world in which the Lord lifts up the lowly and brings down the powerful, a world in which the valleys are filled up and the mountains are laid low, a world in which we all stand, on level ground before our Maker. This is a terrifying word to the comfortable who have much to lose if the world were to change. This is a comforting word to the weary, to those who continue to hope for something better and something more. Friends, are we ready? Are we expecting the upturning of the world order that Jesus predicts? Are we hoping for the kind of world that Jesus would want us to live into? Now, over the weekend of convention, we had a program where we heard the stories of several of our Black congregations in our diocese. There were once nearly 70 historically Black congregations, and now we are down to about 10 in our diocese. Many rural congregations closing down. And we wanted to listen to the stories of their history. We wanted to see what we could dream of together. And these are stories of resilience, stories of hope, congregations built in the peak of Jim Crow, with people who committed themselves to the life together and to life with one another in resistance to the many factors working against them. Can we tell the truth about our past? Can we imagine life anew was the question. Can we tear down, brick by brick, the walls that divide us, the structures that have kept some low and made some powerful? Can we dream of a future where we build, brick by brick, the world of God's imagining? I am hopeful today because I know that there are stories out there of people who dream much bigger, much wider than our limited scope. I am hopeful because when I look at Jesus talking about the temple, I know that he intends to make of us a very big, very wide tent where all are welcome, where all are a part of God's family. May we go forth preaching this comforting word that God is with us and that God intends to do something new among us. Amen.